Welcome to the Studying the Bible podcast, where every Thursday, Pastors Dylan Dodson and Brian Androsian study a book of the Bible, verse by verse, to see what is being communicated and how we can use it to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We pray that today's podcast can help you grow just a little bit closer to Christ.
Well, hey everybody, welcome back to Galatians. Today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 29. So just a little recap, what we saw in the first part of chapter 3 was we saw that Paul, we basically saw Paul get really honest and firm with the Galatians. He called them foolish and asked why they're now turning to the law when God had been working and performing miracles with them this entire time. So he was asking them, why are you now think it's required for you to follow the law when obviously God was working in you and through you and with you before you were following the law or even when you weren't? He's saying that God has been showing up for you and working with you because of your faith alone, and now you think you need to come under the law to earn God's favor. So he's saying these things, this doesn't make sense. Why do you think you need to do this now? Paul talked about Abraham and how because of his faith alone, God credited it to him as righteousness. Just like Abraham, they need faith alone, not to now start following the laws of the Torah. So that's where we were in the first half of chapter 3. Now we move into the second half starting in verse 15, and it says this. Brothers and sisters, I'm using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to a validated human will. So Paul here is talking about a literal will, like the legal document, a will. Once a will is validated or ratified, as other translations say, nobody changes it or makes additions to it. He continues in 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as though referring to many, but referring to one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So what Paul's saying here is he's saying that Abraham wasn't promised many seeds or families, but one family, and you're in it. As followers of the Messiah, we're meant to be one family, not multiple families separated by the law. But under Abraham, all that belong to God are in one family. Then verse 17, he says, my point is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God and thus cancel his promise. So just because the law came into existence for the Israelites, it doesn't mean that it invalidates God's promise to Abraham. The law had a use for a time, but it didn't cancel God's promise to unite all of his followers under one family, under Abraham. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise. But God has graciously given it to Abraham through his promise. So Paul is clear here. The promise he gave to Abraham was not based on the law. In fact, the law didn't even exist yet. So obviously he didn't give this promise to Abraham based on him following this law that didn't even come into existence yet. But if inheritance was based on the law, then God's promise wouldn't have mattered. But God's inheritance was solely based on the promise that he made to Abraham. Verse 19, he says, why then was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was put into effect through angels by means of a mediator. So Paul addressed what seems to be kind of the elephant in the room kind of question. If God made a promise to Abraham and his inheritance was not based on the law, then why did the law exist in the first place? Like if it would end up causing all this confusion, what was the point of it? But Paul is saying that the law never nullified the promise that God made to Abraham. The Torah was necessary to deal with the sin issues of the Israelites, and it was necessary for a period of time until the Abrahamic promise was fulfilled through Jesus coming in the flesh. The Torah helped them kind of get to this point from where they were of a sinful nation living in sin to get to the point where Jesus would come. That's what the law served a purpose for this period of time. But it was no longer necessary now that Jesus had come to be the ultimate sacrifice for them and for us. And he continues in verse 20. Now a mediator is not just for one person alone, but God is one. Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. So if the law could save and give life, then the Galatians absolutely should be living under it and absolutely should get circumcised, as is kind of the main issue here. And if that was the case, there would be no need for a Messiah. If all it took was to live under the law and through that we could be saved and have a relationship with Christ, then there's no need for a Messiah to come. If the law could give life, then living under the law would be all that matters. And is that the case? Paul answers that as we continue in verse 22. It says, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, to those who believe. Before his faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. So the comparison Paul is using here, he's comparing the Torah essentially to prison or jail. That the law didn't fix people, but it served as kind of a way to lock people up, so to speak. Which may sound weird, but what he's doing is kind of to lock people up so that they wouldn't sin anymore. Before Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, it was the only option to deal with sin. But not anymore. See, these laws were put into place to keep people from sinning, and because there wasn't really a way of forgiveness of sin outside of sacrifice. See, now that the coming faith had been revealed, that Jesus had come, there's no need to stay imprisoned to the Torah. He's just continually saying, like, this was there for a period of time, this served a purpose for your period of time, but now that Jesus has come, it's no longer serving that purpose. Jesus fulfilled that purpose. We don't need to continue to live under the Torah. See, Jesus was the sacrifice that covered the sins that the Torah dealt with. Now that Jesus was here, they didn't need to be under the guardian, so to speak, or under the Torah. See, Paul is emphasizing that they're all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus was creating a unified kingdom and a unified family. They no longer needed to be separated, but should be united under the common grace of Jesus. They continues in verse 27 as we close out this section of chapter 3. It says, for those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So these are some of the strongest verses in the book of Galatians, and it really helps hammer home the entire point that Paul is making here. What's interesting is all these categories that Paul talks about, they're addressed in Paul's various letters in the Bible. It says there's no Jew or Greek, which is what we're talking about here in the book of Galatians. It says there's no slave or free, which is addressed in the book of Philemon. Male or female is interestingly brought up because Jewish circumcision was for men only. However, faith was for both men and women. As we see in 1 Corinthians, Paul is not trying to say that gender should be disguised or that there's no difference between men and women, but he's saying that under God's family, these categories don't matter. There's no hierarchy. All are equal in God's family. See, this is important for all, but it was especially important for the Galatians. The point Paul is making here is that the Galatians, as Gentiles, are just as much a part of God's family as the Jews are. Paul is promoting unity in the church here, not separation. Not only are all welcome to be a part of God's family if they have faith, but all that are in God's family are seen as equal. So Paul's saying there's no need to separate here. There's no hierarchy. There's no one better than the other, or one that follows certain rules and so they're better than one that doesn't. But he's saying if you're under God's family, if you're a follower of Jesus, then all are equal. Which this was a pretty radical thing to say in this time when equality was obviously not something that is seen as important like it is nowadays. But he's saying if you're under Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you're seen as equal. All are equal under the common grace of Jesus. So today, as we close out chapter 3, as we do every week, I want to give three takeaways that we can see in this section of chapter 3. And the first is this: it's that God has a purpose for everything. God has a purpose for everything. The purpose of the law, of the Torah, may have been hard to see for the Galatians, but God had a purpose for it. It served a purpose for a certain amount of time. It's not that it was pointless or that there was no purpose for it, but God had a purpose for it, and its purpose had been fulfilled. See, God doesn't make mistakes. The law served a purpose for a period of time, and now that time was done. God has a purpose for everything. Second thing we see here is that there is no hierarchy in God's family. Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, all are equal and welcome in God's family. God doesn't have a certain set up standard for one people group and others for another, where certain people have to do these certain things and other people have to do these certain things to be accepted by Christ. But all are welcome in God's family and all have the same requirements, which is faith in Jesus Christ. There's no hierarchy in God's family. And the third thing we see today is that God's family is open to everybody. Nothing is reserved for only certain people. God welcomes all into his family and invites all and gives the same requirements for all. God does not show favoritism. He is not only interested in us if we do certain things, but he loves us unconditionally and equally and invites us all into his family, regardless of our background, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our status, of our gender, of whatever. God welcomes all into his family, and all he asks is for us to put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we see today in Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 29.